You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
You know what I kept thinking, though? It got into the final, like, whatever it was. Let's say the final hour. All hell could break loose. Let's say a cell tower goes down or, like, the internet goes down. Like, you know what I mean?
It's a great point.
A power surge.
There's a snowstorm in Minnesota, and Kyle loses.
Can't take calls or can't take, like, that's what I kept thinking about is, and it's, I don't know how well publicized it is, but the, you know, the Dale Talon, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. That happened in Toronto years ago.
The fax machine.
There was a fax machine malfunction.
Right.
And they couldn't get a deal done that they were trying to get done.
All I could think about is like, it's done, but like, you know.
All right, let's bring in the GM of the Maple Leafs. Here's Kyle Dubas. Kyle, at any point were you panicked in the 4 p.m. hour that you were going to lose cell reception and somehow this couldn't get done?
My phone went to no service in the St. Paul Hotel at the 20 minutes before the whole thing, and the Wi-Fi there was not great, but Brandon Pridham, God love him, found a way to make it all happen. So we made it through partially unscathed, but we're all good.
Well, take us through that, though. If somehow the deal got signed at 5:01 p.m., like it wouldn't count, or was there any leeway? How does that work?
No, it definitely would not have counted.
Wow. Yeah, I would think that's full-blown panic at that point. No cell reception. I mean, you must have been a little bit jittery, don't you think?
No, we were good. We had, you know, the Brandon was sort of at that point when we knew that by and large we had a deal and that the player was coming back and signing, it then just became a race to make sure we could get it into the league. And because if he said, called back and said, that was always the worst case. If he called back and said, I'm in, I'll take the deal, and then we couldn't get it in somehow. They couldn't email it over and sign it, or the Wi-Fi went down to the place that we were at, then we would be that would be not good, because you'd get past 5:01 and you'd have no player and have a lot of explaining to do. But it all worked out, and we're excited, obviously.
Kyle, you mentioned William Nylander placed a phone call to you. I don't know what time that was, 4:30. How important was that? I'm sure you're not going to discuss what was said, but do you think that was signifying that he maybe stepped away from his agent and possibly his father and said, I got to talk to my GM on my own and help push this forward?
Yeah, William and I, Jeff, have talked a lot throughout the process. So that call actually came in from the agent, and he had William on the line. And when I answered, it was William who said, do we want to make a deal or what? And at that point, I think, you know, once he said that, I kind of had an idea that we were moving along towards a conclusion and getting him signed. I only ever talked to William during the process from their family and his agent. So he and I had kept in close touch, and it was good that I think that'll be a positive here. There was no real awkwardness today when he came in and I saw him for the first time.
What do you say about some of the comments saying that this deal could have been done last summer? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if this deal could have been done in the summer, we would have done it in the summer. These things sometimes take time. When you say this summer, you mean this past summer, not 2017?
Yes, this past summer, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we've kind of been with it the whole time, and if this had been available to do early on, certainly we would have moved to do that. It wasn't until the last day where it seemed to be reality that they would be willing to accept it. So, you know, we were happy that it got to that point, and we're excited to have William back.
So, based on the way you just explained it, does this mean you were comfortable with this number that you ended up giving him back in the summer, or did you both move?
I think everybody, you know, their camp started off at one point, ours started off at another point, and unfortunately, and I think, you know, I'll certainly take my share of the blame in it. You know, we didn't able to come to a compromise and a solution until obviously the last day. So I think throughout the process, you start at both the, you know, at different ends of the spectrum depending on what side you're on, and work your way to it. And I'm only disappointed myself that weren't able to better explain it or be more convincing earlier on, because I think it's a shame that that William hasn't been here for 2 months, and you know, obviously we would have liked to have him far sooner.
With Kyle Dubas, GM of the Maple Leafs, as I'm sure you're aware, I mean, the page turns and we start looking at two other RFAs almost immediately, and we'll get back to William and those details in a moment. Mm-hmm. But based on this experience, I'm sure you can understand this, there's some anxiety in the fan base that as of November 30th, 2019, we could be doing this dance again with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. And if Nylander feels like he got the best deal possible that last day as of November 30th, why would Matthews and Marner think it makes sense to sign as of July 1st or as of today? Why wouldn't they wait until the deadline?
I think the major difference, Brian, is that you know, I can't speak to the discussion. I know Lou spoke with Louis Gross last year, in the fall and in the winter, but, you know, with Austin and Mitch, we've been in close touch with their representatives, throughout and will continue to be. And it's our ambition to obviously have a conclusion to their situations far in advance of this and continue to have open dialogue with them and work with them. So I think one of the great things about this market and this fan base is that people care enough to be anxious about the team when there's excellent young players that are coming due for contracts. And we'll be working to alleviate that that anxiety and that nervousness through how we handle it here going through the winter and the spring.
Kyle, you just mentioned the marketplace and anxiousness. At any point during all of this, were you just tired of hearing about it? Because I know O-Dog and I were tired of talking about it every day. I mean,
yeah, we sent numerous emails back to people saying not talking about it.
It's enough. It's enough. But I mean, at some point, I'm sure you heard how loud the market was on the outside. Was it tough some days to kind of go through that process?
Sorry, guys. I can't hear you right now. Just one sec.
Technical difficulties. This could have been a problem as of 4:52 p.m.
exactly.
Eastern time on Saturday.
You guys got a
if William
no calls
him
flip phone.
I know. Can the Leafs get him a better phone, please? Some better coverage. Sorry, Lewis. Are you there, William?
Yeah.
You're breaking up on me. We're trying to work out a deal.
Could you imagine if that happened? Though I'm telling you, I kept thinking about that. That's all.
Oh, it would change the whole landscape of everything of the whole conversation.
No Kia flip phone. No texting.
Yeah. What kind of phone are you on right now?
I'm bored with Steve Keogh's iPhone, so I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah,
sorry
you can hear us though. You got us. Yeah. I mean, it's been a kind of a goofy process. The super fan in Columbus who was a Blue Jacket fan that thought he had a scoop. You were in Switzerland at one point. I mean, it's been an experience.
It has been. Yeah, I saw Jeff last week say he just didn't want to talk about it anymore, and it got to the point at the end where you know you would in this. It was always the fans have been great. I think they largely in my experience here have been, and you'd have the odd person that would yell at you. You know, what's going on with Nylander? Sign Nylander, or you know, the opposite end of the spectrum, but. Nothing too much, and we've tried to keep the focus here on the group that's here and playing. So I think it was a big media topic, and rightfully so. And I'm sorry that we had to put you guys through that.
What was the day to day like? Is it you know the GM of the Leafs goes into his office, has a coffee, does work, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Nah, I'll call William's agent and see what's up with him," or is there like long stretches, no communication? Communication. How was that daily process going through it?
I think it was different, Jeff, at different times in the process. You know, there were some days where you would be on the phone with them long portions of the day. Then you'd go, you know, a few days without communication. Brandon Pridham, from our staff, assistant general manager, he had you know the majority of the discussions with Louis Gross and. You know, Lewis and he talked probably to each other more than they had ever wished to as we tried to work our way through it. But I'm thankful to both of them for their efforts throughout this process. But it was different at different times. Some days you'd be on the phone, it felt like the whole day, inching towards a conclusion. Then other days you would just feel like it was, things were very cold and you probably weren't going to talk for a bit. So.
With Kyle Dubas, how would you compare the two experiences, waiting for Nylander to get done and waiting for Tavares to get done?
Oh, the opposite. I think the Tavares one was, a major anxiety in terms of wondering whether you were, you know, whether your team had presented well enough and whether you'd done a good enough job preparing the group to go in and convey to John what we were about. And then, you know, there's the, you know, you're trying to read the tea leaves every time there's some news out or a rumor out about, you know, different teams that are going in and where he's going to end up. And then you get into the contract part, and the contract part for him was an hours long process, starting on the first and just getting done, because just the nature of it as an unrestricted free agent. In Williams' case, it was obviously a much longer process, and with Mitch and Austin, it'll be even longer, where you're sort of grinding towards a conclusion. In John's case, it was expedited into the length of a week. So very, very, very different.
One of the first things John Tavares said once he was signed, he mentioned a promise that this team would make sure that they kept this core together, which would include Nylander and Matthews and Marner. And William just spoke with the media about a half an hour ago, and he stated that you've promised him that as long as you're in charge of the Leafs, you will not be trading him. Can you confirm that? And if so, why would you grant him that promise?
I think what I told him throughout the whole process was, I think especially as things started to ramp up and the deadline came closer and, you know, different teams were inquiring and there were more teams involved and rumors started to pick up, I think, you know, what he wanted to know was he wasn't just being signed to be traded right away. And what I told him was that's absolutely not the case. And I said to Lewis Gross and to William, I'm on the record as saying in training camp that, you know, we want William to be here as long as I'm here. I think he's an excellent young player. I think he'll continue to. He's only 22 years old, and at that age, you expect that a player is only going to continue to improve and improve. And knowing his disposition, the way that he handles himself, and the way that he works, I have full faith that he will continue to do that. So I don't think we want to get into the business of jettisoning very good young players here. And that's why I feel comfortable in saying that to you guys and to William and to anybody.
Early in the process, Brendan Shanahan held a rare media scrum and brought up his experiences in Detroit and mentioned something along the lines of, you know, we'd like our young players to take a little bit less so that they can all stick together. I don't see William in this situation based on comparables. I don't see him. I don't think he took less, so to speak. I think he got a pretty good deal. Do you feel like this is a team-friendly deal, quote-unquote?
I feel like it's a fair deal, Brian. And I mean, we can get into everything and try to grind everybody down. I think, you know, in some I've read some of the apprehension about it, and I think they're, you know, it's easy to compare them to deals that were done, you know, two or three years ago, and say, well, you know, they should have got him for this guy. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are people that say, well, he should have got more based on these other players. And our ambition was to find a deal that was fair for William and for the team, and then it will be up to me to follow through on making the salary cap work for our team. So it was never our ambition to, and I know was never Brendan's ambition to grind these guys into deals where, you know, they were, you know, forced to take them or be threatened to be shipped out or anything like that. We want our players to be treated fairly, and we have to manage all that up against the salary cap, and that's what we'll continue to do.
As this was coming down to the deadline, Mike Babcock seemed to be predicting the future, saying he always believed this would happen. He's going to be a Leaf. I got to believe that. Is that just him trying to be positive? Do you have any issues with those comments, or it's just the coach wanting a talented player?
That's I think Mike being Mike, and any coach wanting their team to be as talented as it possibly can. And it was the exact same thing that he was saying to everybody. And, you know, Mike is not one to have much gray. It's black and white. And what he says in here is what he says to the media. And I have no problem or any issue with that. at all. I mean, he had a he obviously, I think any coach would have wanted that player back in the fold, and especially as it got down to the final week and the media questions about it started to become more and more prominent. I think he just gave his opinion and how he felt about it. I have no issue with that. It didn't affect me or the negotiation one bit.
With Maple Leafs GM Kyle Dubas, as a result of William signing, obviously you've had to make some roster moves, some corresponding moves. You've traded Josh Levo for a younger prospect in the American Hockey League today. Can you take us through that deal?
It was just quite simply, Brian, in the summer I met with Josh and Ian Pulver, Josh's representative, and had essentially, I'd seen, and Josh was been here the whole time I've been here, and have seen the way the last 2 years have gone, and their concern was having another season where he's, scratched for long portions of the year, and that if it was ever a remote chance that would happen, that they had my word that we would find a better opportunity for Josh and try to move him along for all that he's done here and how he's conducted himself in very difficult circumstances. So that was just simply us following through on our word and finding a good opportunity for someone that's been an excellent person in his time here, and we wish him all the best in Vancouver.
In terms of the salary cap hit this year, it's kind of a strange CBA loophole. So William's cap hit is $10.2 million. You guys obviously had that kind of flexibility, but it's a big hit. How does that affect what you're capable of doing between now and the trade deadline?
Our cap space will continue to accrue daily before the trade deadline, and we will continue to have space and we'll have some flexibility to be able to do what we feel we'll have to improve the team. So, we still have a good amount at face value, and that will just continue to grow as we work our way towards the deadline. So I know that there's no way of really avoiding that in these contracts that are done late in the year. You're going to have a fairly big or significant cap hit in year one. And we were fortunate in our circumstances with the job that Brandon Pridham does here, but that we did have a lot of cap space this season, so that wasn't really an issue. The out year cap hits were obviously the important ones, and this one for us.
We'll get you out of here on this, Kyle. There's been a lot of focus on this negotiation, but also a lot on the ice. And your team, I think, second overall in the NHL. You guys are 19-8. Now you add a guy like William Nylander. I think you probably had Stanley Cup aspirations prior to the season, but now that we stand here early December, Williams back in the fold, how do you feel about your team's chances this year?
Well, I think we're in a very, very tough division. It's going to be it's nice to think that and to look way down the road, but I think that's why I always say, we have to focus in our division and look where we stand. And you lose a game, and then you're suddenly, you're down to third place. You're not even a home ice team in the first round. And as what happened a few weeks ago, we lost a game in Columbus, and then we didn't, we won on Saturday, but then we didn't play. It was on Wednesday. We didn't play for 2 days, and just by not playing, you moved to out of home ice in the first round, even though you're in fourth overall or fifth overall in the league. And our division is very difficult. Tampa Bay is a perennial contender, Boston as well, and Buffalo. And it's going to be exciting to play them tomorrow because they've had a great resurgence here. Jason Botchell's done a great job with them. So our focus has to be on just trying to work our way up in our division to even have home ice in the first round. And that's what we'll be focused on here during the season and try to set ourselves up well for the beginning of the playoffs.
Well, congrats on getting this job done. Now you're on the clock for all these other contracts and the trade deadline, and try to enjoy it as long as you can.
I'm sure I'll hear nothing about any of those other situations.
No, we're not going to talk
never,
about it.
Never. How much are you giving Kapanen? Tell us right now, please.
Darren Dreger handles that.
That's right. We'll make sure that he hooks us up with that kind of information. Thanks, Kyle. We appreciate it.
See you guys. Thank you.
There's Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs. So, on Saturday, he was doing the rounds and he was speaking with the media, and I think he kind of felt a sense of relief, and I think he was done with it all and he was happy to get it done. Now that I think the dust is settled, listen, the deal is what it is, but I think they're happy to have him here, as they should, and they feel good about their team.
Yeah.
As they should.
That's
And regardless of what you want to say, he's bringing a good player into the fold. It's almost, it's not, but it's like a trade where you got, you just acquired
you're out of
one of your own guys.
It could be like not, almost like the Nylander was hurt for 2 months, and now he's coming off the IR. You know, that's it, ultimately, he was never going anywhere. He just had to get a contract done. Took longer than people wanted to. Guaranteed, you know, I'm sure in a candid moment, Kyle would be like, yeah, I'd love to. You know, this should have been done, whatever, two months
so
ago.
So whatever side you're on or whatever stance you want to take, if you look at the body of work, he was out in L.A., he was presenting to John Tavares, and he landed him in Toronto, positive. He got this contract done. It's a positive. Is it what everybody hoped for, or all these armchair quarterbacks slash capologists? Maybe not, but things are getting done, and it's a positive for the Leafs.
Well, and they're a very good team.
Yes.
You know, that's ultimately what matters.
And second in the NHL, I think that...
that's an important thing to point out.
Go back 10 years ago to see what the hell was going on here.
That's right. And listen, Kyle Dubas and the Maple Leafs and Lewis Gross and William Nylander, they didn't create the hard cap system and the way that the NHL operates. Yeah. You can blame Gary Bettman and the owners for that. This is the world we live in. Everyone's got to have a calculator, and everyone's got to detail every single cent, and that's what we do, and we obsess over it. But we mentioned Joe Bowen's tweet earlier this afternoon, and it's important to point this out. You know, eventually we'll get to it with Matthews and Marner and Kapanen and Janssen and Gardner, and there's a lot of things that are going to come up over the course of the year.
But in the meantime...
But let's play some games and let's get rocking here.
Let's be a hockey fan.
Exactly. Don't let them go on a cup run and you miss it because you're worried about what they're going to do in July.
Yeah. But you know that's, what? That's fun to say, and it's fun to say, let's just
be fans. No, I understand. Listen, we'll be guilty of it, too. Oh, yeah.
We're
going to talk
about it every day.
Yeah. We'll have producers coming in here. Let's. Who's gone? Who's next? Who's out the door? Who's traded? Would you trade this guy for that? It's just...
Yeah. Well, that's what
never
we do,
ending.
Though. And that's fine. That's why I asked Kyle that question. He conveniently, his phone dropped at that point because he didn't want to be like, yeah, I'm tired of you donkeys talking about it every day. Yeah. Guaranteed. His flip phone closed at that point.
I think it was Steve Keogh's flip phone.
No, he pressed mute on it the minute that Kyle started answering that question.
You think it was a mute malfunction?
Oh, it could have been.
Could it have been a mute malfunction? Although I guess it didn't malfunction.
Like
it worked.
Pierre LeBrun's.
Pierre meant to hit the mute button. He did not. This one, obviously, they decided we've had enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to Kyle Dubas for taking us through the whole process. And, you know, say what you want about it. The theatrics, it was actually a very interesting Saturday afternoon.
You talk about it. You want to have interest in your team and have news and different reports. You obviously want a lot more trades in the industry because it's exciting.
Make it exciting. Yeah. It's an entertainment business. Yeah. You know, the more soap opera, the better.
Yeah. From noon until 5 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday, any hockey fan or Maple Leaf fan was refreshing social media to see what's going on here.
It was deja vu to July 1st. It was the same feeling with Tavares. When you were waiting to see what was going to happen with him, it was the same feeling. Is he going to sign or not? Is he going to play or not?
I was 100% sure he was going to sign.
At 4:30 Eastern time?
No. Remember, like leading up to it, but then I sent you guys a text in our group text at like about 4 o'clock, and I was like, or maybe a little bit early. I'm like, I got a weird feeling, I'm not feeling good. Like it was almost like I was wavering because I was 100%. I'm like, they're going to get this done. They're getting this done. They're getting
it done. And then there was breakdowns of it takes so and so amount of minutes to get a deal done to go into the machine or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, I was like, this isn't going to happen.
Do you know what we would be saying today if they had cell phone reception issues that led to them not getting the deal done?
All I could think about was the Chicago situation. I forgot about the fax machine malfunction.
Was a fax machine issue, and I don't remember the
Who
player.
Was it Cliff Fletcher?
No, it was...
Are you talking about Dale Tallon and all
no,
the Blackhawks?
No, it was a Maple Leaf thing.
It was a Maple Leaf situation.
I think it was Bill Waters that was in charge of the fax machine. I think it was Billy. I can't confirm.
You're
going
to have to refresh me on this one.
It doesn't matter now.
No,
but it's a thing of the past.
It's public knowledge, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Not?
Yeah, I don't remember all the details of it. We can find it. Al, find the details. But they wanted to sign somebody... And the fax machine like shut down or something, and they couldn't get it
into the league, and it went past the deadline.
Like that, and like you said, that may have sounded like an ignorant question, but I wanted to know: is there any leeway? Can you call the league and be
"We're
having cell phone problems. Can you give us an extra 15 minutes?"
The league would have been like, "Yeah, they would have sent
you
back
send it in
finger.
At 5:01. He can't play.
That's why. I mean,
and then the deal was signed.
Yeah.
So he's on your team.
But can't play.
But can't play.
Yeah.
All right. Marcellus Wiley will switch gears for a bit, get his take on Mike McCarthy being fired in Green Bay. Kareem Hunt, who has now cleared waivers to nobody's surprise, will he ever play again in the NFL?
Our insider, Jonas Hoglund, was the player.
Really?
Fax machine. That's from our buddy at CP24. So he knows.
Okay, he would
he
know.
Knows.
Yes, he would. Jonas Hoglund was the player.
Apparently. Right. Allegedly.
Allegedly. We can't confirm or deny.
Exactly.
Ray Ferraro will join us at 6 p.m. Marcellus Wiley on a crazy weekend in the NFL next.
That's the only problem that could have gone sideways.
These are the kind of things. Now, we may have had a different view because we're in the bubble.
Right.
If the Leafs didn't get him signed in time because there was a cell phone problem or a fax machine issue, other markets would have been saying that's a fireable offense.
Well, what about what happened in Chicago when they had the qualifying offers? There was Bufflin, there was Versteeg.
Wasn't that Ladd?
I think
Andrew
so.
Andrew Ladd?
And I think
trade all of them.
I think Talon got fired amongst other
but
things.
But all those guys would have been on entry-level deals, and they had to sign them to like $3 million a year. Like they actually had to. There was a mistake. It was a mistake, and it could have been a fax machine.
That's a mistake that can't happen.
Well, I know, and
it's so easy to say fireable offense, but I can't even imagine what the reaction would be here. I can't even imagine if it got out that they got it to the league at 5:03. It would have just been shocking.
It would.
People would have been outside of the Scotiabank Arena with pitchforks, demanding an explanation.
Cell phone service butchered that deal, and it was submitted at 5:03.
Yeah, but here's the
all the fun and games about how great this man. They would have been.
You know what would have happened too?
I'm not even looking at Kyle. I'm looking at in Sweden.
Well, that's exactly right.
What time it was there?
Or in New York?
What if this guy's in a cabin in northern Sweden?
Exactly. Well, and this team is owned by two phone companies. You know what would have happened?
Yeah,
they would have sewered the other guys.
Exactly.
Oh no, the Leafs use Rogers, and then Rogers would be like, "No, they're on the Bell Network. It's not us, man." It would have just been a tit for tat blaming the other guys. Crazy weekend in the NFL as well. A head coach gets fired, long-standing head coach in a big market. The Kareem Hunt scenario, which I'm not even sure where this is going, but I know what's happened. And to try to break it all down and see where we're going with this, we're joined now on the Maple Toyota Hotline by our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer from FS1. Here's Marcellus Wiley. How you doing, Marcellus?
I'm doing great, man. Better than Mike McCarthy right now. Wow.
What do you make of this reaction that, like, this is disrespectful to fire him during the season?
Come on.
Well, I think it is in terms of reputation, in terms of his tenure. This is a 13-year coach, only had three losing seasons, including this one. Super Bowl champion coach that really seemed like he became the scapegoat just because of personality differences, or you can say offensive philosophy differences with his star quarterback. So this is just a classic case of big bank take little bank. And Aaron Rodgers is going to win out right now with this new regime as they restructured their organization last year. So new sheriff in town usually means new laws. But I don't know if Mike McCarthy signed off on this or not. That hasn't been fully reported. But if I'm a Super Bowl championship coach that has given you as many winning seasons as your star quarterback has, and his greatness is tied to my greatness, I would rather finish out what I started than to abruptly be released in the middle of the year.
Well, I do think losing at home to Arizona, I mean, that's impossible to explain. That Arizona team is terrible, and the Packers, they haven't won a game on the road this year. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is done. He's had enough, and he's going to win out. I mean, I get it. I understand. They had to move on from McCarthy, and I think Rodgers, he'll probably be included in whoever they're going to hire next, but he's got three or four more great years, man. They've got to make the most of it. And they got to find a way to put him in a position to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to damn Aaron Rodgers, but okay, we did this for you. Now let's see what we can win because of you. He's the most talented quarterback. We all respect him. But there are many of players, including Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers, that say, Aaron Rodgers is a little overvalued, and it's going to be exposed for good or for bad going forward, because I think we have really diminished what Mike McCarthy has done for Aaron Rodgers and think it's all Aaron Rodgers and all the poor assets around him. I hope he gets what he wants and proves that he's more than just a one-time Super Bowl champion, like his coach proved that he was just a one-time Super Bowl coach. This can go both ways, guys. Aaron Rodgers lives off script. He's very difficult to block for as an offensive lineman. It hasn't really made everyone better around him. But I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes, because I didn't think that a personality clash should have been enough where you get rid of a 13-year tenured head coach who had won a championship for you.
Marcellus, the Chargers picked up another win yesterday. Phillip Rivers has always been a guy that I've liked watching. I saw him play at NC State when I lived in North Carolina, but I always thought quality quarterback. I don't know if he's got the jam to get it done. Do you think he's turned a corner where they might be a team to be reckoned with in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's interesting with the Chargers. I've been to all their games out here in L.A., and being a former Charger, certainly respect and root for him. He's been a guy that's been undervalued on the national landscape, and that borderline Hall of Fame conversation, but obviously needs to go deep in the playoffs once again, hopefully make a Super Bowl. Remember, this was a guy that went to the AFC Championship game, but because of injury, he played but didn't play up to his standard. And I think a lot of people forgot about him, forgot about the Chargers. They haven't been in the playoffs since 2013, so I get it. But this is a real team. Mm-hmm. And everyone's kind of looking at yesterday's game as, oh, the Steelers collapsed. I think of it more as the Chargers woke up after that cross-country flight and that primetime game, and they didn't have their starting running back. It took them a half to realize, oh, guys, we're down 16, but we're good. So we're going to figure this out. And they figured it out in that second half. And they're to be reckoned with in the AFC that is really tight and really contentious.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. I like that Chargers team, but I look at the AFC. Kansas City, New England, Houston, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, Baltimore's coming on. I mean, it's stacked up top. And honestly, I think just based on history, I have to give New England the top seed in my power rankings right now. Kansas City's great, but we know what just happened with Kareem Hunt. I mean, where do you stand on that logjam atop the AFC, and how would you kind of play out the power rankings?
Okay. He's gone.
See you later.
He's got Dubas's phone.
Yeah, what's up with the phones?
Maybe it's our phone line. We've had nothing but problems, because didn't we have callers on Fridays during that? I mean, I don't want to reflect, but we had about a half an hour of a hot garbage.
Absolute dumpster fire of radio. The worst radio maybe ever put forth.
When?
What are you Friday between 5:30 and 6.
We were a basement
despicable radio
podcast. We were awful.
I thought it was great.
We were pronouncing Boreal Psalming for
it was
a minute
terrible.
And a half.
It was terrible.
It was awful. We tried
to
take calls.
I know you don't like bad phones, but that one kind of chaps my ass where it's like, what do you think of that?
Oh, it's the worst timing. And you'd rather they're into their answer, and then it kind of gets
just
choppy.
Like he just said,
you never know how.
Marcellus,
they could be.
I think we got him back.
Okay, good.
Do you want to give it a shot?
Yes.
Marcellus, you got us?
I'm here. Did you have a great question and no answer?
Yeah, basically. I liked it. I mean, I was talking about the AFC and with Kansas City, New England, Houston, Pittsburgh, the Chargers. I mean, do you have a favorite out of those five teams?
Yeah, I have a favorite. I think the Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat the Chargers. Obviously, the high-powered offense. Losing Kareem Hunt, but still being formidable and going out there. Put up 33 against a lowly Oakland team, but not a bad response after having a Friday like they had and still responded like that on a Sunday. I think tier two is all the other teams that you just mentioned, whether it's Houston. We'll put them at the bottom of tier two. And then there's the Patriots, Chargers. You got to respect what they're doing. The Steelers still in it. Four or five teams that are legit in the AFC. So which way is up? I think it's Kansas City, but everyone's close behind.
With Marcellus Wiley, you mentioned the Chiefs and what happened on Friday. That would be Kareem Hunt, and TMZ does it again. They get their hands on the video just like they did with Ray Rice, and all hell breaks loose, and the Chiefs cut him, and he went on a PR campaign this weekend. Do you think that was the right move for Kareem Hunt?
Tough one, man. I start by saying that this is a world of second chances, if not more than that. But you have to earn them. And those chances have to be earned by your behavior, your contrition, your rehabilitation. So not just your words. So in that spirit, I understand he deserves another opportunity if he earns it. But right now we're going through a process where all the facts are not out. A lot of people are making extreme opinion-based solutions. And I don't know if this was the proper time to hear from Kareem Hunt, but there is a school of thought that says, hey, try and get in front of as much of this as possible. If not, everyone's going to write your narrative and cement it, and it'll be much more difficult for you to go out there and recover your name and reputation. So he's a young talent. Made several mistakes. I don't think this is the only situation we're going to be talking about when we discuss Kareem Hunt. So he has anger issues. He has some issues to deal with in his life before he worries about getting his occupation back. But that said, let's get the process going. And it's a disturbing video to watch, and it's unfortunate. A lot of former players shaking their heads, knowing that it's about the company you keep and those split decision moments where you have to think about all that you have worked for and all that you have to lose, which can all come crumbling down in moments like that. And I think a lot of players have been put in that position before, but have reacted the right way. But every now and then, we've seen it go the wrong way, and we saw it again.
Well, and as I said, TMZ got their hands on it, and it kind of feels like deja vu. It was 4 years ago the Ray Rice stuff went down, and the NFL took a lot of flack for not seeking out more details. And
just a question for you and Marcellus, like, and this is, it's not the right train of thought, but could his agent or people pay to get it back and never seen again? Or,
well, it's out there now. I mean,
no,
I guess,
I mean, at the time, could they ever caught wind,
I guess they
and,
could have.
And call up TMZ and say how much to get it back, and or they don't want that anyway.
I don't know how that would work. I mean, I guess maybe you could have called the hotel or the condo or whatever and got in front of it and got right. it first and destroyed the evidence. And, you know, that's a cynical way of looking at it, but it may be a realistic way. But, you know, in terms of the NFL and the reaction to this, you know, it just seems, as an outsider, Marcellus, who I'm sure was tested many, many times for PEDs and for marijuana and all this other stuff, seems like they're always seeking that out. You know, they'll go above and beyond to find out if anyone's taking PEDs or smoking weed. But if someone's been accused of doing something, they don't search that hard. They don't try to find out really what happened. Like, why is that, and why haven't they learned from this?
Yeah, well, look, their incentives shape behavior, and the incentives for the NFL is to find guys that are on steroids. There are incentives to find guys on PEDs because it protects the integrity of the game and perception. So a fan sits there and says, oh, they're trying to create an equal playing field. They don't want a guy out there on roid rage. We get it. But let's be real. And this is a conversation the NFL doesn't like to have, but they're not incentivized to find out if there's a video of Kareem Hunt allegedly committing domestic violence, because one, they don't want any of this to occur on their watch under their umbrella at the NFL, but two, they certainly are not going to go to all extremes to find the video because they want to keep their image as squeaky clean as possible. That said, there would have been a lot of resources paid to find that video. If there is a video out there, the way TMZ model is, they'll pay you. So there's no way of ever having a video out there and getting it destroyed. It's not going to work unless you're really trying to go out there and pay that much money. But then the people who are receiving these benefits and have these videos, security guards making $20,000 a year, and then a TMZ calls them and says, here's $100,000 for a leaked video. It's going to happen all the time. TMZ will win in these situations time and time again. So the NFL, they have to realize that they're dealing with a cottage industry that is incentivized to expose all wrongdoings. And that's a hell of a beast to go against. So the NFL has to reshape its behavior and policies, or else this will continue to happen.
Great stuff as always, Marcellus. Enjoy the week, buddy. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care. Next week.
There's Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, our NFL analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota Corolla the safest vehicle on the road? See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0%. Visit the website mapletoyota.com. Sticking with football, but the CFL. You see the move the Ticats pulled today, the old switcheroo?
Yeah, from the coach. The head coach is now the assistant coach, and the assistant coach is now the head coach.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was the guy going from...
head coach to assistant coach.
Like, goodbye.
Appreciate that the time. Like, I'm out of here. June Jones.
Imagine you wheeling in here. Today you're sitting in the middle, Brian. O-Dog's going to host. I would be like, goodbye.
That's Nick Nurse taking over and Dwayne Casey going to Nick Nurse's spot.
Right. And imagine Dwayne Casey was the assistant coach of the Raptors right now.
Hey, Case, give me the clipboard.
DJ Smith just took over. Hey? Babs is now the assistant coach. DJ Smith is running the team.
Babs, right. You're no longer allowed to talk to the media. I will address the media. You be quiet. Babs is never...
Now, see those pucks out there? They're not going to pick up themselves. Let's go.
And get me a Subway sandwich.
Go
later.
Run some drills. Like, assistant coaches do a lot of the grunt work for the head coach as far as setting up drills, doing all of that. Like, believe me, I've been in that mix, right? But I can't. Now, in defense of it, it sounded like it went from head coach to associate coach. But still, you get pushed to the side.
He's not filling up the water bottles necessarily, but he doesn't have the power and authority that he once did, not only over the team, but over the coach.
Right.
Like, his former assistant
that
is now his boss.
Like a backdoor job, or you're just...
Something's going on here in Hamilton.
This guy was so happy, too, in the presser, the assistant coach. Now he's the
head coach.
Just awkward in the room, too. Yeah. Like, okay, this is my desk now?
The only way I could make any sense of it is that the head guy said, maybe I need to take, like, step back a little bit. This guy's ready to go, but I still want to be involved.
Why would you ever do that?
I don't know.
Would you care about this guy's career?
I don't.
You're maybe the head coach.
But is the head coach, like, aging or anything? Like
he's
that.
Not retiring. He's taking another gig. He's got more hours now for less pay. All right. Yeah. Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes.
Do you have the other clip where he butchered it?
No, we don't have time.
He's grapplers just...
Mullen's off today. Yeah. The Graps is in here. He's Mark in the corners. He's got his elbows on.
You have that little clip where he had...
We don't have time. We got to go. Ray's coming up, and... lots of stuff coming up at 6:20 as well.
Have
we'll
a quick listen
that.
To this, and then we'll go to break.
Make sure you follow TSN 1050 on Instagram, @TSN 1050.